Yes.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
Try to protect him. He knew exactly what the situations were at key moments. He converted fourth down three different times, a couple times with his legs. He made a big throw there at the end. I mean, just did a lot of good stuff. I commented to Joe before we just came on the air with you that he just woke up Washington Nation.
You're right.
I spent time there at RFK and FedEx Field as a player. I know what those fans can bring. I know what a home field advantage that they had for so many years, and it's been a long time, and I feel bad for those suffering fans, but I can only imagine if you were a Washington Redskins fan, a Washington Commanders fan, and you're watching this game, it must feel really good, because you don't want to anoint anybody right away, but I thought coming into this game that he had some intangibles, and he certainly has the athletic ability and all the things that you look for. But his intangibles, I thought, could take him over the top, and I really like him, and I think he's going to have a fantastic career. What I witnessed tonight, you know, well, time will tell, but I would be really shocked, and I'm happy for Washington fans who have been suffering for as long as they have.
Troy Aikman last night with Scott on Scott's postgame sports center following the game. Yeah, I mean, today's not a time, and actually right now isn't the time regular season-wise to get into that conversation of whether or not if they actually have a quarterback, a superstar player, a team that starts to win more than it loses, a team that becomes a contender down the road, you know, is it going to bring a significant percentage of the fan base that doesn't feel the same way about the team the way they used to back? Time will tell. I don't know. I do think the combination of winning and a superstar player at quarterback is the absolute, you know, chance at bringing the most people back. You know, just being a team that's competitive, that wins a lot of games, without the star factor, I don't know. But, you know, he said something, and I pointed this out earlier in the show when I was going through my game take and talking about, you know, Jaden's performance and Jaden overall. You know, the skill set, the talent has never been questioned by anybody that watched him in college. I think he had, honestly, and I said this during the season last year, and then clearly when it became a possibility that Washington could draft him at number two overall, I think it's the greatest quarterback season I've ever watched personally in college football. Joe Burrow's was spectacular, but in a different way. This guy had a horrific defense, and literally single-handedly, yes, with good skill position talent, Malik Nabers, Brian Thomas Jr., Mason Taylor, etc., multiple offensive linemen that'll play in the NFL, but it was just amazing to watch him will that team to wins and to competitive losses when their defense could never get off the field. His skill set, his talent, never a question mark. To me, the number one thing all offseason, Can he stay healthy? Can he protect himself physically? Because the frame is slight, but not all frames, slight, big, strong, weak, tend to be as vulnerable to injury. Sometimes it's just the way the bones are constructed. I can't explain it. And then the other stuff that we didn't know about, the intangibles, you know, the processing, the IQ, the work ethic, the team leadership, you know, team first mentality. You know, something that I loved hearing early on from not just Dan Quinn publicly, but from a couple of people that I talked to privately, is they were really impressed with his combined confidence, which he's got a lot of it, but at the same time, he's got humility. And that's such a fine line, man. When, you know, you guys all know it, workplaces, sports, doesn't matter. You know, when you have that talent and you have that young person that there are some expectations from, you want to feel like You want to feel inspired by his ability, his talent, his skill, and his confidence, but not at the expense of arrogance. You know, there's got to be a humility that comes with it as well. And Dan Quinn's talked about it multiple times, about how he's been able to kind of really, you know, find that incredible balance, which is hard to do, especially with a young person. It speaks to a level of EQ. I'm not saying, you know, I'm not making any declarations on him. I'm just telling you what they've said about him. But I think in our own personal lives, you guys understand that that is an EQ kind of thing. When you can be super confident, super competent, and at the same time have that humility trait that makes people attracted to you rather than repulsed by you, it's, you know, it's really... It's hard for a young person in an older environment in particular to pull that off. And look, does he have that killer competitive gene? I think I saw it last year. You know, even with his cool demeanor, his, you know, perceived casualness, I saw a guy that with games on the line was putting his body on the line and he didn't care. Again, go watch the Florida game, yes, but go watch the Alabama first half in Tuscaloosa against a really good defensive team. That was the night, Denton, that I came in here that next Monday and said, he's winning the Heisman Trophy. He's the best player in America, and he's one of the best quarterbacks we've ever seen in college football. And everything he has skill-wise is so, you know, important in today's NFL. But the other stuff, you know, health, intangibles, got to have all that too in the NFL to be great. Good start for Jaden Daniels for sure. Three games, three solid performances, and one memorable historic performance. All right, back to the phone lines. Joe's been on hold for a while. Joe, go ahead. Thanks for holding, man.
Hey, Kevin, what's going on?
What's up, Joe?
All right, so let me give you a quick like and what I didn't like. You know, at the beginning, Dan Quinn, on the very first possession going for on fourth down, he knew with what the Bengals offense was doing to the defense already that it was going to be a long night, but he did not back down, and that kind of changed it into our favor because we knew that if we could stop go down the field just like the Bengals offense did, it would be good in our favor. Like I said last week against the Giants, it's great having a 1-2 punch in Robinson and Eckler, whether it's running or catching the football, although Allison Eckler, I really hope it doesn't look good. Hopefully he's okay. I'm not sure about this weekend. We'll find out soon. Terry McLaurin, you know he was going to come out eventually. I mean, so I don't know what everybody was concerned about. And he, once again, let his play on the field do the talking last night. One player, and I know the defense did not have a good night again last night, but Frankie Louvu, Kevin, was able to disrupt Joe Burrow a couple times last night. And I really love what Louvu has done these first couple of weeks. I mean, it's been a great addition to the defense. The defense has to improve for sure, and that's what I did not like. It's not going to get easier when we face Marvin Harrison Jr. and Amari Cooper in the coming weeks. Thank goodness our offense was able to keep running the clock and keeping the Bengals offense off the field when it did. Side notes. It's a question for you, Kevin, because I know the defense has struggled. Is Derek Forrest not healthy right now? Because I feel like he was
not healthy. No, I don't think so. I think he's healthy. He was inactive again last night.
Yeah, because, I mean, I understand that the defense has got to improve, but you see what Derek Forrest can do on the field. I understand one player can't make a difference, but it's a head-scratcher why he's not been on the roster on game day. And I'm curious to know, he's healthy, but maybe this is a chance to put him back on and see what he can do. I mean, we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
But, you know, love what I've seen so far from the offense, and we'll see what happens on Sunday. Take care, Kevin.
Yeah, no, I hear you. You know, and it's not like they're not playing safeties, right? I mean, Percy Butler's out there a lot as a safety. Quan Martin, Jeremy Chin out there as a safety. So they're playing three safeties. I have no idea what the answer is. You know what, though? I'm going to trust them right now. Even though they're bad defensively, I agree with you on Louvu. You know, I think the energy level was there. I agree with you on Louvu. I actually think, you know, that 25 St. Juice, apparently, you know, occasionally, you know, gives you, you know, some hope there. Bobby Wagner occasionally gives you some hope. I still think 94 Duran is a tough guy to block. There was a lot of running on and off the field last night with the defensive tackles. I found that interesting. Let's go to Chris in Delaware. Chris, thanks for holding.
Chris,
go ahead.
Chris,
you got to turn down your radio.
Yeah, thanks for turn down your radio. My radio's not on. I don't think my radio's on.
Well, somehow we're echoing here. So let's put Chris on hold. We'll figure that problem out. Let's go to Ryland from Cincinnati. He was at the game last night. Ryland, go ahead.
Dev, good morning, people. And unlike Ian, it's a beautiful day in Cincinnati, guys. And thank you, Kev, for what you do, buddy. Yes, we were there. When you see a big, dumb Canadian wearing a Chris Cooley jersey with a hard hat on that hugged Bobby Wagner and John Allen last night after a big win, that's me, brother. And it was insane. I told a lot of Cincinnati people that we were going to shock the world for the last couple of days, and they didn't believe me, but I told them and the MGM Grand, listening to you, took them plus +7, took them on the money line, actually added to 21 a few times, a couple beers before, so you know how aggressive we were. It was fantastic. It's a beautiful day, buddy. I could go all
yeah,
day,
few,
but I
a few
shouldn't.
Beers
I could let you
and
talk.
It gets dangerous right before kickoff, doesn't it?
Oh, hey, it's so dangerous, and it was so fun, and this is my fifth day, actually, consecutively of being under the influence, and I cannot get home to my two girls and wife quick enough, but it's not till tonight,
we'll
and that'll
together.
Be...
Yeah, I need
thank
you ready
you.
For
and
the
been,
Arizona
been,
game, Ryland. Come on.
I told my wife I'm actually not going to Oklahoma City. I have to go to Arizona. We won. We have to bring that energy tonight. And Kev, I've been in America. I played hockey in college, and I picked the Skins 12 years ago. I've turned your radio station on 12 years ago with you and Cooley. I'm a BC boy. Cooley's the man. I love you guys. Thanks for what you do, buddy. I've been listening every morning for 12
appreciate
years, and I'm
it,
never going to stop. And we're going to the Super Bowl this year. Maybe not soon, baby.
Yeah, maybe not.
Tail
appreciate
skins,
it. I love, though, the description in Denton. You know, only bettors will understand this. You know, it usually happens more on Saturdays than Sundays because you do have to get up, some people do, to go to work on Mondays. But on Saturdays, when you got all the different start times and you're hanging out somewhere watching games, drinking beers, all of a sudden it gets later in the day and maybe you're down a little bit and all of a sudden you start firing in on games you had no intention of playing. You're working them into teasers and parlays and I know now a lot of the young guys, it's like, oh my God, we got 58 prop bets just in the first half on this game. Oh, boy, it does make for fun times watching games. Let's go to Bones. Bones has been on hold for a while. Bones, go ahead, man. Thanks for holding as always, sir.
Hey, Ken, thanks for taking my call.
Yep. We got a problem with Bones' phone. Let's go back to Chris, who got the echo fixed. We'll get Bones figured out. Chris, go ahead, man. Thanks for holding.
You bet, Kev. Thanks. Thanks for taking the call. You know, look, it's always exciting. You win on Monday night. Doesn't matter if it's AFC or NFC, divisional or whatever. It doesn't matter. It's a good win, and you got to be excited. But after some reflection this morning, speaking for myself maybe, but maybe this is for the whole fan base, we are so broken. There are so many points last night during that game where I looked up and I saw that we were tied, expecting that we were going to be down. And then you get into the second quarter. You look up. Oh, my God, it's a close game. I mean, we're expecting to lose these games. And it is refreshing that we finally won
one. What was the moment? Let me interrupt you for 1 second, because I know what you're saying. Because there was a moment last night when they went down the field and scored in like 30 seconds. It was like really a minute 48. It seemed like 30 seconds. And they even missing the two-point conversion, which, you know, we got lucky because that was definitely DPI on chin in the end zone. I kept expecting, and I fully admit this, in as much of a Jaden guy as I am, I'm like, it's his third game. Like, is it really possible that he's not going to make a mistake? Because all they were really was one mistake away on offense from losing the game last night. And I felt it, what you're describing, when it was 31-26 and they took over, you know, on that next kickoff with 9 minutes or so left. And then, by the way, remember, there was a false start right to, you know, to begin with. And I'm like, uh-oh, this is going to be the drive.
Yep.
That they punt or they make a mistake.
It wasn't until Terry catching that ball in the end zone. And then, of course, you look at the replay and you're like, oh, they're going to rule him out. And then, you know, Collinsworth, whoever it was, said, you know, no, you got to count that. So that was the only moment. But I got to say this, like, you know, as a fan base, you know, I mentioned we're broken. You know, we have Troy Aikman being our therapist late night. Clearly, he's giving us the talk. I wonder what his therapist rate is versus broadcast rate. But, you know, we have to – the sooner we can go outside, put some ice in the beer cooler, and dump it on our heads, the better off we're going to be. You know what I mean? Like, let's get to Arizona. Let's see what this is. You say it yourself. These weeks, these early games, these are head fakes. So let's everyone take a breath, enjoy today, and – be sober for tomorrow and for the next week, and I'll keep listening.
Yeah, I mean,
you're the best. Thanks for taking the call.
So you said something, by the way, too, at the very beginning. I love the call. Thank you. I appreciate that. Number one is, would we be this kind of euphoric, optimistic, if it had been a Monday 1 o'clock game versus a Monday night game? That's an interesting thought. I think sometimes these high-profile games, where, by the way, the other game was such a blowout that the whole country's watching Jaden Daniels in Cincinnati, and then you get all the talking heads all night long, all this morning. You know, a little bit different than Sunday at 1 p.m., although, you know, RG3's first game was a Sunday 1 p.m. game, but it was opening day. In terms of the PTSD fan base stuff, we can't fix that overnight. You know, that's just not going to be fixed overnight. That was 30-something years, but really 25 years of being treated so poorly that it's going to take some time. And there are going to be some times where you just, like, you know, you're like, whoa, like you're expecting the worst. It takes a while to get over that, and it takes winning, you know, sustained winning to eventually kind of push that into the deep recesses of memory. By the way, game situation-wise, interesting point you brought up on the 3rd and 7. If that's incomplete, or Terry catches it and he doesn't get, you know, the knee down, they kick the field goal there. They're not going for 4th and 7. So they're going to kick the field goal to go up. At that point, it would be 34-26. So Cincinnati's going to have that drive to come down and get a two-point conversion to force overtime. Right, Denton, 3rd and 7, if that's an incomplete pass, they're not going for 4th and 7.
Correct. Yeah, I would imagine anything more than 4th and 5, they would have kicked.
Yeah, I think in that spot, actually, because an 8-point lead is, there's a comfort with an 8-point lead versus a 6-point lead, obviously, or 7-point lead, knowing that they not only have to score, but they've got to get the 2-point conversion, which league wide is, you know, a little bit less than 50-50. So they would have kicked the field goal there. No doubt in my mind that they would have kicked the field goal there. Jameel is calling from Chicago. Jameel, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Hey, what's up, Kevin? How you guys doing?
I'm well, Jameel.
Good, good. Look, just shout out to all the fans. I'm going to be the pessimistic fan. I know my uncle's a diehard Washington fan, and he's watching. Shout out to Uncle Jay. But look, we got to pump the brakes. I mean, we've seen this before. Everyone's talking about 25 years of bad quarterback play. We've seen an RPO offense and with success. We've seen speed and being the fastest player quarterback on the field. We've seen an amazing deep ball and accurate throwing. And so with that, I think we got to pump the brakes a little bit. I think, you know, not having that for so long, we're already talking about, you know, fans calling and talking about Super Bowl, and maybe it's, you know, hyperbole and just joking around.
Well, nobody's talking. Yeah,
fans talking about they're crying at 3 o'clock in the morning. It's like, dude, we beat two bad teams.
Right.
We beat two really bad teams. And I don't think, you know, that is really the hype. And so I look.
Well, I wouldn't
to you,
say
Kevin,
Cincinnati's
for that.
A really bad team, even at 0-3.
Well, they haven't won a game, and their defense is porous, as we can see.
Yeah, I know, but they were one questionable pass interference call away from winning at Arrowhead last week. So let's not forget that either.
Fair, but I mean, but you are what your record is, right? So I mean, they're not going to make the playoffs. That's probably a bad team. Would you agree?
No, I don't think they're a bad team.
No?
I would disagree with that, and I think they're going to win more games than they lose. Last night was hurtful to them, no doubt, but I don't think it's a bad football team.
So,
but anyway, your overarching point, let me just say this about the comparison to RG3. And I've said this all offseason. I don't see the comparison other than number 2 overall pick, Heisman Trophy winner, dual threat, super exciting in terms of the game being charismatic. But there have been a couple of big differences that I've pointed out since the end of the NFL season when it looked like Washington was going to have a chance. Draft him. Number 1, he is so far so far advanced compared to RG3 as a passer. It's not even worth discussing. RG3 was so raw as a pocket passer, as a defense reader, processor, etc. Secondly, RG3's athleticism was straight line speed. Jaden Daniels has eyes in the back of his head. He's got the ability to make people miss. RG3 also had a breakable body. So he was injured multiple times seriously at Baylor. So far, knock on wood, and I'm knocking hard and loud, we don't see that. And I'm not even broaching the personality differences, which we don't know Jaden well enough yet, but it would be tough to out-hashtag the all-time hashtagger before he had ever accomplished anything. So big, big differences. Billy, finish it up. Go ahead.
Kevin, what an amazing morning and amazing evening. Required watching for this fan base, the film Gleason. Steve Gleason blocks a punt. They build a statue. It was called Rebirth. We don't have Dan Schneider in the house anymore.
For those that don't know, yes.
Thank you. We don't have Dan Schneider in the house anymore. I haven't jumped off the couch since 2005, the Monday Night Miracle, like I did last night when Terry caught that absolute freaking dime from a guy who I didn't think they should pick, who is clearly ahead of where he should be from a quarterback and a leadership perspective. Giving guys high fives, coming off the sidelines, forget about it. They're going to build a statue of Terry catching that ball and Jaden throwing that ball, and it's going to be called Resurrection, because this is the resurrection of football in Washington. And 5 years from now, this Monday night game, and thank God I was watching it, is going to be the game that we all look back and said, we're over the Schneider era. We're moving forward. And boy, am I looking forward to the future of Washington football. Let's enjoy it, everybody. Thanks, Kevin.
Look at you. Look at Billy and Chantilly. Ben Standing next. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, the team980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
And it's first and goal from the four. Daniels is going to walk it in for the touchdown.
Yeah, he had not yet thrown his first touchdown. That would come, I think, on the next drive to Trent Scott, which will create a trivia question, hopefully down the road, because to really have a trivia question about something you did early in your career, you had to go have a career. Which the first three games certainly indicate he's off to one here in Washington. 38-33 Washington last night over Cincinnati. If you're just checking in, I doubt you are. But really, the co-lead or the co-headline, if not the headline, was one of the more memorable performances by a quarterback in recent franchise history. And really, going back historically, one of the better quarterback games, period, rookie or veteran, in franchise history. Jaden Daniels was 21 of 23 for 254 yards. As I mentioned, he accounted for 293 of the available 390 yards in the game, you know, based on the number of drives they had, their starting field position, minus 10 yards in offensive penalties. That's pretty good. Do we have Ben? I think we have Ben Standing, who joins us on Mondays, Fridays, but Tuesdays after game days. He was there in Cincinnati last night at Ben Standing on X on Twitter. Read him on The Athletic, of course, and listen to his podcast, Last Man Standing. So let's start where we always start after a game. This one clearly special and memorable, but what were your big takeaways?
A buddy of mine texted me this morning and asked me, you know, he knows I grew up, you know, as a fan of the team, and he's still a fan. He's asking me, when I'm watching this game, do I get any rush as like a fan? Because it was so fascinating to see what Jaden Daniels was doing. And I was like, no, but I did get the rare feeling of being excited, knowing that everybody else was going to be excited for reasons that I used to be excited for, if that makes sense. Because what that was, you know, people get worked up over wins, and you know, and that's fine, because, you know, because that's the people want to see that. But where is it going, right? That was always the issue for the last umpteen years. Even when there were positive moments, it was like, okay, but what's going to happen now? The ceiling's pretty low. The whole, you know, cleaning out all the baggage from before and then bringing in this kid to help fill in that gap, and then for him to deliver that performance. And it's not just that he had a spectacular game, because these things can be one-off. It's seen, for me at least, the progression from the summer to the preseason to the first game to the second game to the third game, and how in certain cases, especially things like the poise in the pocket, the improvement has been so obvious each and every time. And to have the that calm, that poise when things are, you know, getting tense. I mean, the Bengals didn't go away, even though Washington's offense was killing it. And then to make the fourth down throw to Ertz on that last drive, to then of course throw just an unbelievably preposterous dime to Terry McLaurin for the touchdown. You know, I don't know where this is going. None of us do. But the fact that it might be going somewhere that's pretty amazing is, wow. It's quite the moment to see. And, we're a typically cynical bunch in the press box for, I think, fair reasons, you know, based on having covered this team. And I think we were
all... the fan base is, it should be cynical, should be skeptical, because they've never given us a reason to be anything but that.
Yeah, no, 100%. But like, yeah, so, it was pretty fun. And you know, the funniest part was the one person who seemed to be the calmest, at least around us, about everything that happened was the quarterback. You know, the locker room, of course, they're, you know, collectively they're all hyped and loud. And, you know, when we asked about Jaden, it was just praise on top of praise. And with him, it was like, yeah, you know, I think I did all right. I think I did well. We won. I know the work I've put in, so it was great to see it happen. But he didn't, you know, I've been around plenty of other athletes who've had big games, big moments, and they're sticking their chest out. And he was like, yeah, this is kind of what I do. And I think on some level, I know this is a day for all the film nerds to get out there and show everybody on tape, wow, look at this, wow, look at that. And I think that is only going to tell you part of the story. His demeanor, his presence is, I think, so much of why, for me, has stood out throughout the last several months, because that's not something that everybody has. A lot of guys are great athletes, can throw the perfect pass, but to have that presence that guys gravitate towards, that lets you know, not only did I kind of expect this to happen, but I'm ready for this moment, I just think says so much about this kid.
Yeah, I mean, the other stuff that really we can see, but they really can feel and understand and know, is just as important as, oh, by the way, when he started off running, he didn't see Luke McCaffrey downfield, or he didn't see Noah Brown downfield. Thank you for saying that. Now, look, I understand what you said about, you know, where is it going, you know, and you and I have had this conversation a little bit here and there over the last couple of weeks. It should not be exclusive, because the conversation about where is it right now is appropriate. You know, for me it is, and I've had that conversation with you over the last few weeks. These NFL seasons are these individual, you know, entities and packages. Each week of it is. You just can't can't predict the future. You don't know what you're going to have down the road. You don't know what the competitive landscape will be. Each one of these seasons are, you know, are gifts. And every once in a while, it may not look like it before the season starts, but all of a sudden, when you start to actually play the games, you realize, hey, we can be one of these teams that fights for a playoff spot, makes the playoffs, just like, six or seven other teams. So let's focus on that for a moment. What can they be right now? Because I think last night, with respect to this season, should be a conversation shifter for some.
I mean, look, the offense, I mean, it's two straight games, and Tress Way is, had the best seat in the house other than having to hold kicks. He's just kind of watching, no punts in two games. They still haven't had a turnover all year. These are pretty efficient, pretty spectacular numbers. And Jaden Daniels, he's already showing that he more than just belongs in this league. I mean, look, this team still is devoid of offensive playmakers. It didn't feel like it though last night because the way he played. Give Cliff Kingsbury a lot of credit for using the pieces that he had to the best of everybody's ability. So I think from the offensive standpoint, and look, the offensive line had a really good game. I think Brandon Coleman, and Lucas, they split snaps at left tackle, but Coleman is another ascending player that they have. It looks like he's only getting better, and so that's huge. And this is obviously the first game Terry McLaurin busted out. So I think offensively, there's definitely a lot of reasons to be hopeful, and I zero problem with that. The other side of the ball, that's where we need to see. I mean, Michael Phillips and I were on a thread earlier, and he said, "Can you imagine if you didn't see the game and somebody told you the Bengals didn't punt and scored 33 points what the result was?"
Right.
I mean, the defense has got to get so much better, but they were fortunate that they held the Bengals to, some field goal attempts, and Washington was only kept that, was only did that once, right? So it's, half the game, there's still a lot of concerns. I don't know how to say that otherwise, but at least on the offensive end, it is looking like they belong. I don't want to keep seeing them getting these shootouts. Especially against a team like the Bengals who have the weapons to get ahead of you and to make it tough. But Jaden Daniels showed he wasn't too worried about that. So I think the offensive side, has shown some good stuff. I just think that the defensive side, there's still a lot to be desired. Fortunately, the breaks have gone their Washington's way the last couple of weeks, but that to me is where it's hard to say how far this can go if the defense isn't going to get significantly better.
Yeah, there's a limiting factor right now on what can be achieved. But in the NFL, when you got 7 of the 16 that qualify for the postseason, we've seen many a team with outstanding offense and an outstanding quarterback end up, winning more games than they lose. It just kind of runs out of juice when you got to stop somebody in January, and I think we all understand that. We are talking to Ben Standing. Look, a big part of the three games, but definitely last night early and then on the second half kickoff, has been Austin Ekeler. What do we know about his concussion? And can you tell me, was it the kickoff or was he in on a play after the kickoff in which he got hurt?
Yeah, he had a run after the kickoff, and I believe that's the play he got hurt on. I looked at the all-22 on it. It's a little hard to tell. It looked like a couple of guys kind of hit him at the same time. I don't know if there was like a shot to the helmet or not, but look, somebody got at least a clean hit. We'll hear more from Dan Quinn later today. He stayed back in Cincinnati while the rest of the team flew ahead to Phoenix for the game this week. They had a couple of a team doctor and a trainer stay back with him. So don't know more than that for now. Obviously concussions are a tough deal, and I can't project what may or may not happen. But obviously, if he's unable to get clearance here in the next day or two, then his status for Sunday is going to be pretty dicey. But yeah, no, I mean, I love that. We've talked about this now for the last few weeks, that for all the talk about who's the second receiver, and my answer is basically, I think it's the two running backs. And the fact that they started out the game with both of those guys, Robinson and Ekeler, on either side of Daniels, and that, yes, exactly.
Right.
Take your best players and figure out a way to use them, and they did that. Ekeler has continued to be just so effective as a slithering power back. And of course, he has a spectacular kick return. This is 2 weeks in a row, right? 2 weeks in a row, he's had Huge kick return. Obviously, the one against the Giants was called back, but this one set them up in great spot. So, yeah, he's been a weapon. Obviously, Robinson, this wasn't his best game in terms of yards per carry, but he scored on the ground as well. And I'll just add that, you know, on the Daniels throw to Terry McLaurin, Jeremy McNichols is the one in there in the backfield. Presumably, that would have been an Austin Eckler play. And, you know, I've said to you before, I didn't really quite understand why they felt compelled to have to keep Jeremy McNichols when I'm sure he would have cleared waivers and then they could have brought him up from the practice squad or whatever. But the justification for keeping a guy like that is you want to have a veteran behind sure. the quarterback for exactly what he did. He leveled the guy coming in to go after Jaden Daniels, but gave him enough time that let him throw the ball. So, yeah, good work from him, and hopefully Eckler is – able to come back soon because, you know, he's been definitely a huge factor.
Yeah. He picks up one. I mean, they lined up like it was zero coverage. They actually dropped two players back into the middle of the field on third and seven. But there was still a free rusher. But you're right. He did a good job stepping up. And that's always – those are always, like, reasons – that you end up with a guy like that versus the kid Wiley who looks so impressive, or maybe a Rodriguez. It's because if we have to play them in an actual game that matters and our quarterback has to drop back, he'll know what to do. You know, when we say, hey, we need you to pick up that, you know, gap in terms of a potential rusher. And he did so in that case. Although, man, Jaden still took a pounding. How happy was everybody for Terry McLaurin's breakout game of 2024?
No, for sure. He definitely was a very happy guy in the locker room, Terry, after the game. When we were walking from the press box to the visiting locker room area, Terry was like one of the last guys to come off the field, and obviously he played at Ohio State, so there were Buckeye fans there, and we can hear I was like, wait, what am I hearing here? And I realized that people are chanting, Terry, Terry. And you're like, what is that? What? And then you realize it's like Ohio State fans cheering for one of their guys. Yeah, he was really happy. You know what's fascinating about Terry McLaurin? He did get some separation on the 55-yarder, but obviously it was, you know, tight coverage on the touchdown. I mean, it was open by NFL quarterback standards, but not like open, right? That's why it was. It was Next Gen Stat said it was the lowest for a touchdown. It was had the lowest probability for happening of any touchdown this year in the league. He is so good at the contested catches. I think that's why he and Taylor Heinicke work so well, because Heinicke was kind of, you know, as he kind of said, throw the ball down and Terry's down there somewhere. He's just great at those, the concentration, the hands, and we saw that on that play. So, you know, again, I talk about the evolution of Jaden Daniels. You know, that first week, he's clearly a bit jittery in the pocket, jumping out too quickly. That's why he had all, you know, what, 16 carries or 16, runs officially. Then the next game, the first half was kind of the same, but in the second half, it started to slow down. He stays in the pocket, hits Noah Brown down the field, and now it goes further. Now he's throwing it even, you know, further down the field, and he stayed in that pocket. Like you said, McNichols got one guy, he still got popped, but he stayed there. And you know, a lot of the times it is as simple as that. Is the quarterback going to, you know, wait long enough for the receiver to get open? And, you know, the throw is spectacular, but the catch, you know, we can't underrate that. He's getting almost, you know, midway to the end zone, inside the end zone, the sidelines right there. Perfect pass, but you still got to make the play, and he did just that.
Yeah, you know, in looking at that play again on third and seven, you know, they drop two guys back into coverage. One of them's clearly a spy because it's third and seven, and we've already seen this program where, you know, pressure, and then he gets out of it, and then he's moving the chains with his legs. I do think, and we talked about this earlier, that had, let's just say, Terry not gotten the knee down or whatever, they would have kicked the field goal there. They weren't going to go for a fourth and seven. But this team with this quarterback is going to have an opportunity for a lot of four down sets. Not necessarily deep in their own territory, but, you know, fourth and three, this guy, they're so, you know, they're so multi- in terms of what they can do with a quarterback that is dual threat. All right, last one for you. I think the O-line may not be getting the kind of credit they deserve. I mean, we've talked about it a little bit here. I'm curious as to what you think. I thought Biotish in particular was really good last night. I think Lucas has played well. I think Allegretti and Cosme do a good job. You know, we talked all offseason. Number one concern for everybody, God, they needed to upgrade the O-line. Sometimes the coordinator and the quarterback make a difference. Go ahead on the O-line.
Yeah, no, I mean, definitely for sure. I mean, you know, I think, again, I think Kingsbury did a really good job. You know, I don't think anything has changed in terms of Lucas and Andrew Wiley. I mean, Lucas is, every time he's come in, he's played over the years, he's been effective. But over time, there's diminishing returns. So what happens with him? We get past week six, seven, et cetera. Except that now Brandon Coleman is there, and he, I thought, did some good work. So, yeah, the interior part of the line figured to be the strength. The question was the tackles. You know, Wiley's had some struggles earlier this year. But, you know, yeah, they've done a good job. And, yeah, having a guy with Jaden Daniels' ability to slither in and out of holes, get away from pressure, you know, covers up for so many other concerns. But, yeah, that was a really good game. Trey Hendrickson's been one of the top pass rushers in the league, and he was fairly quiet for the most part last night. So, yeah, no, you got to give them a lot of credit. Like I said, the offense has been, you know, pretty good. It's just been, you know, the questions on the other side. But, yeah, no, it's been impressive. And, you know, again, yeah, Jaden Daniels just, wow. You know, I mean, he this is what the great quarterbacks do. I mean, he covers up so many issues. This is why you don't have to go spend crazy money at receiver, because this guy makes the extra play to make what you have work. Same thing with the offensive line. Obviously, you always want to get as good as you can at any of these spots, but yeah, he's making everybody look better.
All right, I got to go. I'll talk to you later. Thanks for doing this. Appreciate it. Yeah, there was a Hendrickson sack. I mean, he had one really good play. I didn't think Jaden had a shot on that one. That was what set up second and 20, I believe, on that final drive. All right, something about their offense I haven't talked about when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com. That was fun this morning. A couple things real quickly. Washington has the third fewest attempts on third down in the league after 3 weeks. Buffalo and Atlanta are the other two teams with fewer third down attempts. They've been very successful on first and second down. That is rare with a rookie quarterback where games get managed a little bit more. Cliff Kingsbury is saying, we're going full out here. Certainly after the opener, very effective first and second down offense for Washington. That's a big part of why they are staying on the field. Defensively, a different story. Tomorrow, more on obviously a very memorable night, sort of in upon further review. I'm sure we will revise some of our takes from today, but probably not many. That was one nice night, but got to follow it up on Sunday in Arizona. Doc was on fire after the game on the postgame show last night. He is standing by with Chris Russell. They're up next.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.